With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bob Costas, the exclusive home of ALDS, ALCS, you'll hear him with Ron Darling, Lauren Shahadi on the call for exclusive coverage tonight. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We are doing well. Let's get to this right off the rip. Last night, who got screwed worse, the Yankees or the Guardians with MLB's decision?
Well, the Guardian bullpen was already rested, so it may help the Yankees a little bit in that respect, getting the extra day. Terry Francona has always said from the beginning when we began talking to him before the division series began that he did not want to use Shane Bieber on short rest. 3 days now is short rest. Could he use Shane this afternoon for at least a few innings? In theory, he could. But if he does, it would appear to be a change of mind. Whereas the Yankees always wanted Cortez to be able to pitch twice in this series, as Gerrit Cole has done. And Cortez is able to start on 3 days rest. So there's an advantage to the Yankees. Does he go as deep in the game, even if he's effective, as he generally would on 4 days or more of rest? Probably not. But he's been very effective, was an all-star pitcher during the season, probably the Yankees' best starting pitcher in the second half of the season. So I would say that all things considered, a small advantage to the Yankees. But keep in mind, Cleveland fans, the Yankees have no control, no team has any control over a postponement or a delay in the postseason. That's all Central Baseball's decision.
So, you know, Bob, people reflexively will go right to the MLB offices and the fact that the Dodgers are gone, the fact that the Mets are gone. John Heyman just penned a piece in the New York Post about what the execs truly want to happen with this series. So, you know, those grand conspirators, they will weigh in on this and say baseball all along was going to give the shaft to the Guardians.
Yeah, they will. And just because you have a thought and you say, could this possibly be true? You can't leap. It's illogical to leap to. Therefore, it is true.
I am a conspirator. Bob Costas joining us here on the show, MLB on TBS. Now, I kid there. How much is, in your relationship with Terry Francona, from the Phillies to the Red Sox to the Cleveland Guardians, how much has he changed as a manager? How much has he changed as a person, Bob?
As a person, I don't think he's changed at all. One of the most delightful people in sports, self-deprecating, funny, a tremendous storyteller. You know, sometimes you sit with a manager or a coach and they give you good information, kind of nuts and bolts information. He gives you a backstory or some kind of insight into whatever player he's talking about or the feeling in the clubhouse or some sort of callback to a player he played with or somebody that he managed, which can, in his case, of course, can include Michael Jordan in AA back in the mid-90s. He's just one of the most interesting people to be around, and you can sense what a good-natured guy he is. And if he's changed at all, I think his basic traits have only deepened. He has a kind of quiet confidence, certainly not cockiness. He's very self-deprecating, but he has a feeling, hey, we want to compete. We're going to give it our all, but he's got a big enough view of the big picture to know that if the Guardians lose today, it's disappointing, but it's not the end of the world. That doesn't mean you don't give everything you've got, but he's just got a big picture view, which ought to be his view after 22 years as a big league manager and now that he's in his early 60s.
He is a man you just mentioned. He is a man in his 60s. He still reaches young people. This is the youngest team in professional baseball, mm-hmm. big league baseball. I mean, we spend these last few shows. I mean, we're talking about a football team here in Cleveland that has their backs against the wall again, that lacks leadership. This is a team here with the Guardians that has a bunch of leadership here. How does he lead? How does he find leadership on a team that really shouldn't have any with how young they are?
Well, first of all, you've got his resume. You don't have to be a baseball historian. These young players don't have to know everything about it to just take a glance and see what he's done through the years and how successful he's been. If he doesn't manage another game after today, he's going to the Hall of Fame. So that's element A. But B, there's just his personality. You know, it's not an act. He's not harsh or stern. He gets respect just based on who he is. He doesn't have to play a drill sergeant to get that respect. The combination of what he's done and who he is transmits to his team. Another important thing is Carl Willis, who's 61 years old. As you guys know, he's coached 5 Cy Young Award winners in his career. And apparently, according to Francona, he has a way of communicating with pitchers that's very concise and very effective, and this staff has done well under him. So again, when you get results, it only increases the respect.
Bob Costas has the call tonight deciding Game 5 or this afternoon at 4 o'clock. All the coverage, of course, with TBS, exclusive home of ALDS, ALCS. The theater of this series, two teams I don't think you could find more diametrically opposing in the styles, in the payrolls, the ages. And it has been hard for Guardians fans at home watching this series to sit back and hear what they feel they believe to be almost a bias, the big New York bias. We're used to hearing about this all the time. Bob, you called series like this forever. You called the Indians back in 95, 97. When you hear those complaints, how does it make you feel? What is your retort?
You know, I don't want to be harsh. I understand where it comes from. But to be concise, it's idiocy. There are people in New York that think that somehow we're being unfair to the Yankees. And forgive me if you heard me give this example or sort of story that I've created here. No broadcaster has ever received, back when people wrote letters or now emails or heard something in a tweet that went something like this: "Dear Mr. Michaels, Musburger, Nance, Buck, Tirico, Costas, I am a fan of the Oakland A's and thus had no interest in the series between the Guardians and the Yankees, no rooting interest, just wanted to see good baseball. But in my opinion, you were unconscionably harsh and unfair toward the Guardians / Yankees. Turn the page over." Not once has that ever happened. It only comes from people who are themselves partisans, whose idea of objectivity is Tom Hamilton's call. Tom Hamilton is great. He's a wonderful guy. He should someday be in the broadcaster's wing of the Baseball Hall of Fame. He's the radio announcer for the Guardians. He can call a game the way he calls a game, and that's the way he should call the game. When you're doing a game nationally, first of all, one of the things you have to do early in a series is to familiarize the casual fan and people outside, in this case, Cleveland and New York, with the basic storylines of the series, and in this case, as you said, there's contrasts. And those contrasts, you don't just mention them at the beginning, they played out. Game 3 of this series was a personification of those contrasts. The Yankees get 5 hits, they score 5 runs, 3 of the 5 hits are homers. The Guardians beat them with 15 hits, 13 of which are singles. In an era when rallies are an eclipse, they get 5 singles in the 9th inning to win the game. It's kind of a personification of what the storylines were, so you have to lay that out. I don't see how any sane person could listen to us in the bottom of the 9th inning on, I guess, Saturday night. You lose track of the days with all the rainouts and odd off days. On Saturday night in Game 3 and think, oh, gee, we were disappointed that the Yankees lost the game. Here's a newsflash for most fans. There may be a handful of exceptions somewhere, but by and large, here's what network announcers root for: good games, good events. If the series is for 5, you'd like it to go 5 because that's more dramatic. and you'd like the last game to go to the last pitch somehow, to the bottom of the ninth or to extra innings, because that sets the stage for more memorable games and therefore should be a better broadcast. That's what network broadcasters root for. Secondarily, they root for their own convenience. Hey, do I have friends or family in this town? Does this town have a better hotel than that town? What's the flight that I have to take? That's what they root for. It's very, very unusual for network announcers to have a true rooting interest. The other thing that fans have to keep in mind, no matter what the sport is, the home team, when they do something great, there's going to be a crowd reaction. So the announcer, without even thinking about it, it's just instinctive, has to raise his voice to get above that crowd sound. When the road team does something, that response is a little bit muted. Still, by professionalism, you should be able to always be appreciative and always give credit to both sides. And people who think that's not the case in this series are seeing it through the prism of their own non-objectivity and then casting that on the broadcasters. It's simply a bogus argument. It has no validity whatsoever.
Bob Costas joining us here on the show. Major League Baseball on TBS play-by-play announcer Bob Costas on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Why do you think that is? I mean, I think maybe it's because of social media. I think maybe it's because, you know, the regionalization of professional baseball. We have more baseball from our own home teams than we've ever had in the history of watching it. Why do you think it is?
Well, you've hit one of the reasons. The dynamic we just talked about has always existed, but social media amplifies it many times over. And it's a distortion. People who are angry or have a complaint of some kind or want to take pot shots are disproportionately represented in many corners of social media. So that's part of it. But it has been ever thus. It's been ever thus. I'll give you another anecdote here. 1986 World Series, one of the greatest World Series ever played, filled with drama. Red Sox versus Yankees. Red Sox versus Mets. Back in the day when people actually picked up a phone and tried to call the switchboard of a network to lodge a complaint, one night during that series, the NBC switchboard logged roughly 1,000 calls complaining that Vin Scully, a paragon of professionalism, along with Joe Garagiola, were biased against the Mets, and roughly 800 saying they were biased against the Red Sox. The difference can be accounted for by the fact that while Boston's a big city, New York is a bigger city, so larger population, and then, here's an antiquated reference, it was a toll call to call from Boston to New York, so it was easier for Met fans in terms of expense and the number of them to outnumber the number of complaining calls from Red Sox fans. 1,000 thought that Vin and Joe were biased against the Mets. And 800, which really is an equal number when you take into account the other factors, thought they were biased against the Red Sox. Translation, they're playing it down the middle.
Bob Costas with us. I'm going to suck up to you for a second before asking another critical question. Just, you know, two Syracuse guys on the phone here talking broadcasting, which is an honor and a privilege, Bob. But I was so excited about you getting a chance to call this series because we hadn't heard you do a ton of baseball. And I still remember back 98 when you called Michael Jordan at that time, his game-winning shot, and the last time we thought we would see him on a basketball floor. And I said, nobody does a game like Bob Costas. Nobody weaves in the history of the different sports, and you are a historian of these sports, especially baseball, but also provides the commentary that can be cutting, can be controversial, and can be a different way to do a game. And now you see there's a Manning cast. There are the Homer casts for the national championships in college football and college basketball. And yet, Bob, I see people like Mike Francesa and others that are critical of the way that you call the sports. So I sucked up to you only to come to this question. Does that hurt you when you hear people come after you that way, someone who's done it at your level for as long as you've done it?
I'm going to give you an honest answer. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to it because of the dynamics that we've been talking about, and so I understand what it is. There was one comment in line with what you're talking about where you don't have to say these things about the Yankees. Everybody's a Yankee fan. Everybody knows this. Does that person understand the nature of a national broadcast? Yes, everybody from Sacramento to Bangor, Maine knows who Aaron Judge is this year. But what about other factors within it? I think if you don't set the stage and frame it a little bit, then the casual fan isn't drawn in as much, and they don't understand the dynamics of the series. Once you move along past the first couple of games, then the series takes out its own narrative, and you do less of that. But today, for example, there has to be a little bit of that, because there will be fans, casual fans, tuning in, many of them, for the first time, because people tend to watch a deciding game. Casual fans tend to watch a deciding game more often than they would watch the games earlier in the season. So I understand everything that goes into that. I'm also very self-critical, and I understand when there are occasions when I don't quite meet my own standard or don't quite accomplish what I set out to do. And I do understand that possibly in game one of this series, because I was so well prepared, I was trying to frame the series, in game one, the balance might have tilted a little bit too much towards some of that background, the history of the season and the history of the two franchises, which are interesting. They both have interesting and deep histories. So it wasn't that that was wrong to do or that it wasn't done effectively, but the proportion, the balance might have been a little bit out of whack. But after that, I think we just called the games the way we should call the games. You made an earlier point that I think is important. The regionalization of baseball broadcasting. It is essentially a local and regional sport throughout the year. You think about football. Every football game, you have your local radio announcers, but every NFL game is a network game. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it goes to the whole country, sometimes it's just regional, but it's all done by network announcers. So on television, that's what people are used to. Back in the day, there used to be the NBC Game of the Week, and everybody watched it. The Game of the Week on Saturdays got ratings often higher than what hit primetime shows get today, because the landscape was different, and teams didn't televise all their games or virtually all their games locally. So the Game of the Week felt like a big deal. This was when you got to see, if you lived in Tacoma, this is when you got to see Fernando Valenzuela face Johnny Bench. And so everybody knew Kurt Gowdy and Tony Kubek and Vin Scully and Joe Garagiola. They were used to them. Baseball has become a regional sport, and by its 162-game day-in, day-out nature, you become comfortable with and attached to your local guys. That's as it should be. But if that carries over into misimpressions about the network guys when they show up, that's unfortunate, but there's nothing that the network guys can do about it. But to another point you've made, you mentioned the Manning cast. I've felt this way for a long time. If the networks can figure out a way to cobble together the rating, because let's say if the Yankees play the Astros, or if the Yankees had played the Dodgers in the World Series, those are two huge markets. As long as they don't give up the rating, I would think that they could create an alternative platform where Cleveland announcers for this series and Yankee announcers for this series could call the game. They wouldn't be able to have their own production crew. That would be unwieldy. But they could put their voices in real time over the pictures that the network is providing. And as long as the rating locally, which would be drained a little bit in both cities, as long as that could be added to the network's rating, and that as long as they played the same commercials so that the network wasn't hurt in terms of revenue, that would be a reasonable alternative for people to have. Then, of course, Cleveland would have to decide if they wanted to put Tom Hamilton on television instead of on radio, and his style is greatly suited to radio, but I'm sure he could adapt. But the point is, why not allow that option to people? And I think a lot of people would sample both. They might go back and forth, but at least they would have whatever their preference would be. And if the technology allows for it, I don't see why baseball couldn't go ahead and do it.
All right, Bob, I know you're pressed for time. Just one last thing, and I appreciate all of your time today. You're calling Game 5 today, ALDS, DBS, your exclusive home for this, and the ALCS. I miss you on NBC football. Over the years, I know you had some cutting remarks about the NFL, and you, in the past, had done some things that the NFL weren't thrilled about. If they would ever have you back, would you be interested in doing this iteration of the NFL?
No. I'm not antagonistic toward the NFL, but if you're the host or the play-by-play person in a situation, you have to essentially be comfortable with it. I've never been a hype guy. I've never been a carnival barker guy. And I've always been willing to criticize or call attention to issues in proper proportion at the proper time and to acknowledge some of the elephants in the room. But if you don't basically embrace it, if most of the audience is more interested in it and cares more about it than you do, then you've reached a point where you should stop doing it. So can I still watch a football game? I don't follow it avidly. I'm not looking at the schedule on Monday and seeing who's playing on Sunday. But can I still get engaged in a game, turn on the set, and it's late in the fourth quarter, and you understand what's going on? Sure I can. But am I the guy to bring people into the tent every Sunday night, as I may have been at one point? I always, in truth, had ambivalent feelings about football going back to the 1990s. I actually asked out of it at NBC, and Dick Ebersol, my friend and patron, was good about that, and he let me step away from it in the 90s. But then when we got Sunday Night Football back, it was such a big deal to Dick, and because of my close personal relationship with him, he said, we're going to bring Al Michaels and John Madden over. We need you to be the host. Okay, I get it. I'm loyal to NBC. I'm loyal to you. I'll do it. But after doing it for a while, the balance began to shift, and it did not shift toward being antagonistic toward the NFL, but it shifted to where I had an ambivalent feeling. I had almost as many misgivings as I had positive feelings. So I think if I ever address NFL stuff, it's better to be in the role of a commentator than as a play-by-play man or a host. So that's long in my rearview mirror.
All right, Bob, we know we kept you over. We really appreciate your time, and we hope to get a chance to do it again if you'll have us, if you'll allow us. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, guys. By the way, as we were speaking, it was overcast when I got on the phone. I'm looking out my window right now. Overcast as I got on the phone. The sun just popped out. I don't know what that means for 4 o'clock Eastern time,
The
sun just popped out.
Very good.
Let's go.
Very good.
Thank you, Bob Costas. We appreciate it.
See you. Have a good day.
Thank you. There he is, Bob Costas, MLB on TBS play-by-play announcer for the game. Ron Darling, Lauren Shahadi will have the call today. Game 5 exclusively, 4 p.m. We have plenty to chew on from Bob Costas. Did we chicken out, or did we ask the hard-hitting questions? Were you happy with his answers? Jeff Thomas standing by with the update.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.